The strong take everything. The weak can only surrender or flee. His eyes narrowed as the spear users neared him and activated a skill. I might not yet be strong, but I'm certainly not weak. Randedly bowed his head. Compared to the prospect of what they would do in this prison to get out in time for the tournament, it was much easier to focus on the threat in front of him. He would take it one step at a time. Torturing himself with what they might need to do felt foolish, especially when Tellus had made it a sin to be weak.
That's more like it. Be good and we won't. This. Huh? Why? Oh, fucking shit! Poison! Ugh!
The first man said, his eyes widening as he stumbled and quickly produced a potion to gulp down. Randedly shrugged and continued releasing pollen of the Rafflesia into the area around the fire. Their gazes were tinged with fear now, but that was quickly overwhelmed by anger.
This isn't your lucky day, kid,
the first man said, an ugly scar marring his cheek. He gestured to another of the men.
My mate has a poison resistance over 30. If you think we're going to just take their pig and run after this, you're dumb.
Something snapped in Randedly. He didn't move. He simply smiled. Spearing roots ripped up through the second man, boring holes in his legs. He whimpered in shock, his eyes wide, and the rest of the men froze. The first man seemed to be rather brave and vindictive, because rather than run, he leapt towards Randedly, his spear slashing. He could almost hear Shaul whispering in his ear, "Don't dirty your spear with these bandits." Randedly stepped forward and knocked the spear to the side with his hand, and delivered a roundhouse kick to the side of the man's knee, the sharp blow snapping his knee with a sickening pop. That man was far, far weaker than Shaul, even weaker than the average participant in the qualifier. This man crouched in this chaotic gathering outside of the city barely a step above becoming a Forsaken himself. After all, he was not valued enough to be enrolled in a style. Randedly had forgotten this was not Earth. Here, strength was everything. People needed to kill for money and liquid life, or they would find a fate worse than death. With the anger hot in his belly, Randedly advanced. Life was not an incredibly precious thing. It was worth less than a slab of bacon or a mouthful of ether. That was what the system did. It transformed you. It transformed your world into a place where you either killed for strength or died at the hands of someone who wanted it more than you. Just like Randedly's strength was rising, so was the strength of the system aimed against them. Shaul spoke of calamities. Raid bosses were growing in power. Eventually, the walls of the zone Donnyton was in would come down. If Randedly had insufficient strength at that point, he would never have another shot. He was already taking enough of a risk by refusing to capitulate to the system and receive a class. For now, at least, as such. He needed to seize every opportunity presented to him, or he would inevitably die. Now I understand Shaul's outlook. If you stop advancing, you will fail. It's that simple. It's a very ugly world.
Chapter 66. 5 minutes later, Randedly's breath steamed out of his mouth and drifted up to join the smoke from the campfire. His shoulders rose and fell through his struggle to get his breathing under control. A dozen men limped, crawled, or dragged themselves away. Some were partially devoured by insects, others burnt at the edges. A handful spit out mouthfuls of foaming saliva as pollen of the Rafflesia inflicted them with various ailments. Some part of Randedly whispered that it would almost be more merciful to kill them. Wounds like these would take a while to recover, even with the system. That time would move them ever closer to running out of ether, deteriorating into a Forsaken. Becoming one of those emaciated and hollow-eyed individuals was not a simple process, Shaul had said. After the gray crept into their bodies, it was not easy to come back. even though the anger justified this display to himself, and even now he still believed in those reasons, the truth of how he might have ruined these people's lives made him flinch. Randedly made himself stand there and adjust his mindset. I'm not some great hero. I cannot save all these people. But I can make sure I grow strong to protect those back in Donnington. I can pay back my debt to Shaw. These bandits made their own decisions. If he needed to, he would kill. That was definitely true. Today he closed his eyes and tried not to think beyond the moment. One step at a time. One thrust at a time. That was how he would live. He'd known for a long time now he traveled a path that could kill. Hadn't he? When he selected rot and got pollen of the Rafflesia and edge of decay. When he chose the path of the stinking corpse lily. It hit him with a peculiar sense now. Perhaps it was their weakness. They were undoubtedly weaker than him. Just average people. The dregs of society. And he ensured their demise for envying his meat. After a few more minutes, his breathing became even. Randedly opened his eyes, the green in them dark like a shadowed forest. He turned and walked calmly towards the woman who'd given him the meat. In this world, displays like this were common. There was no need to feel embarrassment or shame. Those around simply backed up while it happened and picked through the bodies after Randedly departed. Showcasing their callous treatment of death. This was a fact of life to them. For a second, Randedly regretted leaving his spear attendants back in Catal. They really were rather convenient for avoiding interactions like this. At the same time, he couldn't deny its usefulness. The faction this woman belonged to seemed rather normal. And perhaps it would be good to appear friendly after such a bold display and establish relations here during the wait for the caravans to arrive. Randedly sighed. He had no fucking idea how to deal with interpersonal stuff. Was it weird he transitioned so quickly from killing to offering food? Except he was already headed in her direction, so it seemed strange to just turn around. The woman noticed his approach, gazing at him. Randedly's frown deepened. What if she thought it was some sort of courting ritual? Well, he supposed it wasn't worth it to worry. One of the few sayings he'd taken away from his mother was that humans are only big enough to hold emotions for one person, so worry about how you feel and fuck the rest. And do your best to feel good. That's all life is about. The point may have wandered at the end. But he found worrying solely about himself, leaving other people to their own feelings, involved less interaction on his part, and appreciated it. Hello again, he said to the woman. Another, shorter woman approached, standing nearby, leaning on her spear. The woman he'd spoken to nodded serenely and nothing more. Scratching his ear, Randedly just said it. I had some extra of the boar you gave me. Here. As thanks for helping me. No one else would. Randedly waved his hand and produced a pot with quite a bit of the extra meat and vegetables. The woman nodded as if this was the most normal thing in the world and took it. She bowed to him.
I appreciate the gesture, Mr.
Ghost Hound.
Mr. Ghost Hound, then. If you need any more wildlife, please come find me. My name is Jade. You appear to have the cooking skill, which is rather rare, though appreciated. We of the Willow Tree Spear Style will be willing to sample your cooking any time.
Randedly shifted awkwardly. No problem. He turned and made his way back to Shaw. As Shaw seemed perfectly content to rest, Randedly removed bracers and began to engrave. It was frustrating, still unable to get above 60% with the other two types of runes. He kept using all of his mana to make a weeping cloud through his attempts. Shaw didn't even seem to mind, as his face lost a lot of its lines while the soft rain soaked him. About 3 hours after they arrived, just around the time Randedly was switching to playing with his root spiders to pass the time, a caravan rolled past. Randedly stood, but Shaw shook his head.
This is not the quarry for which we wait. Do not worry, it will come within the day.
Meanwhile, the largest group present, with rust-colored armor, rolled forward, headed down towards the caravan. Several people from the caravan separated from it, getting off their horses to meet the bandits.
This road is very special. Banditry is encouraged here, on most caravans,
Shaw said.
Brave and foolhardy and desperate merchants use this road. The other routes are relatively safer, but take much longer. It was a lesson made by the founder of Tomcat, who held a very large disdain for merchants.
The bandits split off too, an exact number equal to the defenders continuing forward. They battled in a group, the bandits quickly overpowering most of the defenders, except for one. That individual fought valiantly until three bandits ganged up on her and repeatedly stabbed her, killing her. Aside from that very exemplary individual who died just like that, the rest ceased fighting with meager wounds. Randedly felt slightly sad for that young woman for some strange reason he couldn't understand.
There seem to be some rules, Randedly asked.
Shaw snorted.
The play-acting of the weak. Worry not. When you make your move, you will not bother with it.
Randedly's eyes rose.
My move?
Of course. We wish to be imprisoned in a place that cannot contain us. If I reveal my strength, they will place me in the highest tower without a hope of escape. I am just a companion of yours. Keep yourself ready. They may arrive at any time.
Mulling this information over, Randedly settled back down around their fire. The bandits returned, guffawing and happy, having been paid off by the caravan to let the rest of them pass. With nothing else to do, Randedly returned to engraving. He was swiftly interrupted by a familiar voice.
Mr. Ghost Hound, are you engraving?
Randedly sharply looked up. The figure was basically indistinguishable from all the other members of that strange style, due to their golden robes. It was the voice which made him confident Jade was beneath that veil. He also felt slightly guilty for so blatantly practicing engraving, after Claptrap implied it was extremely dangerous. He didn't really think he would be here long enough for it to matter. To her question, he hesitated, but nodded. That seemed to put her in very deep thought. All of a sudden, Randedly recognized from Shaw's stillness that he was paying very, very close attention to what was being said. Jade bowed to Randedly, and then twice to Shaw.
We had recognized you, Artisan Shaw, though hadn't known how to ask for your help. For the son of the Spear Phantom, we would pay a high price for your—
Not interested, and I don't have time,
Shaw rolled away, ending the discussion. Jade turned back to Randedly.
Please, Mr. Ghost Hound, at least come see my mistress. We can offer significant help with your studies.
She glanced meaningfully at the bracer in his hand. Randedly thought it weird she would ask about engraving so directly, and now was playing coy. Something strange was going on. He glanced at Shaw. When Randedly asked Claptrap about the Phantom Spear style, he hadn't known anything, but promised to investigate. It really seemed that Shaw's father was quite the notable figure.
We require nothing right now, Jade quickly said. But in the future, if you acquire the strength, please assist my Willow Tree Spear style. Simply a promise.
Randedly kept his gaze on Shaw, who still hadn't moved, his breathing once again normal. Honestly, he was quite tempted by the offer, especially if it would help his engraving. Not really because he desired the money from selling them, but because engraving was undoubtedly a powerful skill. As he developed it, the effects grew increasingly powerful. Someday he would need to work on his own equipment, and it would be extremely useful then. Also, if he returned to Donnyton with this knowledge, it would become a powerful weapon and source of trade. If he really embarked on this path of blood in order to obtain power, it would be good to help build something with that power. Acquiring another debt gave him a brief pause, but ultimately, it was contingent on him becoming strong.
Well, I suppose hearing her out wouldn't hurt, Randedly said slowly.
and Shaw didn't move. He followed Jade back towards the main tent of the Willow Style. De Hark's glee for a good haul was wiped away when the newcomer approached the tent of the Willow Tree Spear Style. An insidious and acidic jealousy filled his heart. He ignored it when the newcomers demonstrated their power, but perhaps he had been too merciful. Then again, this might just give him a lever to use to get into that tent. Balling his hand into a fist, De Hark forced himself to do nothing while that young man proceeded into the tent he himself fantasized about so often over the last few weeks. He forced himself to remain cool and calm. His mind began to tick as he turned to look at the horizon. This would not go unpunished. De Hark smiled, showing all of his crooked and yellow teeth. Chapter 67. Randidly left the tent 15 minutes later, feeling elated and strangely sad. The old woman within, carefully tended by several women due to her enchanted wounds that wouldn't heal, spun a very sad tale. A year ago, they had been one of the two most powerful styles of the engraving guilds in the Spearman School domain. They had been betrayed and attacked by those who wanted their engraving symbols. Their foes distracted the main force of the style by inciting a hunger swarm, which devastated their foundation. Randidly made a mental note to later ask Shaul about a forsaken hunger swarm. Their Willow style did not have many of the basic animal runes or the elemental symbols that add magical power to a weapon's attacks. What they did have was a very particular and powerful method very few of the other engraving styles possessed. They knew how to engrave a skill into a weapon or piece of armor. At its most basic, it was similar to a gun with limited bullets. There were a certain number of charges, which, once used, would deplete it and cause the engraving to disappear. At higher levels, these charges continued to gradually recharge and were used indefinitely. At the highest level, the skill grew like a normal skill, over time itself becoming stronger. This could only be achieved when the engraving was made by a master. The old woman sorrowfully explained that they escaped with their lives and these methods, burning all other records to ash as they fled. Although they could hide here, living as bandits, it was extremely difficult. For they were broken, their power scattered. They had nothing. They needed hope. Even though it was only for a promise of assistance and support, they gave Randidly two things. The first, a large set of volumes detailing the very complicated and formulaic way that basic runes worked, and how they were discovered. Theoretically, the woman stated, one could use these basic principles contained in the book set to create your own runes. The second object was a short list of runes they discovered. This included the Oxen rune, which increased vitality and resistance, the Dolphin rune, which increased intelligence and control, and the Praying Mantis, which increased perception and willpower. The most valuable rune was the Shadow rune, divided into 5 grades, where each version became more simplified. Even the basic grade 5 Shadow rune made Randidly's eyebrows rise. The mana required to etch it was about double his mana pool. For obvious reasons, they weren't willing to give Randidly any of their more complicated runes or their skill rune method. It almost seemed foolish to him that they even told him about it. But when he looked at the old woman and the rest of the skinny women, desperately slurping the tasty food he provided, he realized this was just flailing desperation. They needed something, that hope to hold on to. The old woman didn't know if Randidly could become that, but offering this small bit of information was better than doing nothing at all. Despite leading the investigations from the engraving guilds back to them by helping Randidly along on his engraving path. Randidly returned to the fire, inwardly torn. It was just a promise. Only, he took promises seriously. He didn't want to feel like he owed anything to others. Sitting down, he took out one of the books he'd received and looked at it for a long time. His eyes hardened. He already resolved himself to take the path to strength. He couldn't afford to waffle back and forth while the system continued to throw curveballs his way. If he wanted Donnyton, and in a large sense Earth, to survive, he needed knowledge as well as power. "What's a hunger swarm?" Randedly asked. Almost immediately, Shaw blurred into motion, his spear drawn and his fist seized upon Randedly's collar to pull him back.
"What? How far away is it?"
Randedly licked his lips. It was difficult for him to believe how violently Shaw reacted, and was that fear he saw in his eyes?
I was just asking. I've heard several people mention it.
Shaw's shoulders deflated, and he released an explosive sigh. He squatted back down and shook his head.
Whew. It is my own fault for not realizing others would be in a panic if such a thing were coming this way. Bandits like this, they would melt before a hunger swarm like salt in soup. You must understand a bit more about the Forsaken first.
Shaw spared Randedly a glance.
It is not an easy transition. Most simply die without becoming Forsaken, because their stats and skills require too much energy to sustain. They eat away their own life. Others don't possess enough stats, so their bodies waste away during the process. Only a very specific combination of factors allow Forsaken to form. Perhaps only 3 or 4 out of 100 will make the transition. Unfortunately, the Forsaken do not appear to age the same way we do.
Shaw shook his head.
Originally, we believed the Forsaken were victims of some plague the White unleashed. Some weaker warriors would have their life sapped until they turned wan and gray. However, we realized the White had to fight against this phenomenon as well. It is just a reality of the system.
Randedly coughed lightly.
And the White are...
Shaw leveled a blank look on him for several seconds. Then he huffed out a chuckle.
You really don't know about our eternal war with the White?
I mean, I've heard references, but you told me I didn't have the spare time to worry about anything but training, Randedly thought, feeling somewhat aggrieved.
Shaw clicked his tongue. Well, it is too early for you to understand the White and the front lines anyway. It is enough to know they are a race bent on destroying Tellus, who, if they possessed the ability, would gladly unleash a plague upon us. Now, as I was saying, you need a very specific amount of energy deficiency, enough that people waste away, but not enough that they die. And when it happens just right, their skin and hair turns gray and their eyes grow hollow. And that, my disciple, is not the worst of it. Their very personality is sacrificed. They lose their individuality and become a being of instinct and need. Most of the time, they enter a hibernated state, one that can last for years, ceasing all activity to bring that energy deficit back to even. Occasionally, they awake. That is a hunger swarm. The Forsaken tend to congregate together. There must be some base intelligence that gets them to do so. They are still alive, after all, and as with all things, living beings want to survive.
Are they living? Randedly asked.
There are many twilight states that can still be considered life.
For a second, Shaw's face was cloudy, before shaking it away.
Anyway, if one Forsaken is correctly triggered, usually through sensing ambient ether, they will burn their own remaining life force in a vicious burst, granting them power far beyond their wildest dreams from before they were Forsaken. This burst then triggers more Forsaken until a whole swarm is created. Usually, this heightened state can only last for an hour or two, even shorter for Forsaken that have lived a long time. However, Forsaken possess a horrifying ability.
Shaw pressed his lips together.
They can devour normal individuals and suck the ether right out of them. They can even sense classes in the surrounding area, and to them, nothing is more delicious than devouring the class of a spear user.
Shaw's eyes became bright.
They can even...
Randedly's expression made him hesitate.
Bah!
That's basically the gist of it. Without absolute power, most styles simply allow hunger swarms to expend themselves. To confront them directly is dangerous.
Randedly lowered his head and clenched his fists. This system really just creates so many ways for you to die.
Following this train of thought, Randedly turned again to Shaul.
What's the calamity?
Shaul didn't even open his eyes, waving a hand in dismissal. After speaking about the Forsaken for so long, it was clear his mood had soured.
There is no meaning in speaking of it.
I'll go back to my own world eventually, and I'll want to prepare. If I knew something about it...
As always, you rush to judgment.
Shaul straightened, looking over towards the road.
I wish I could tell you, but you cannot understand it. Here, look. The calamity...
As Shaul began to speak, the words shifted, and suddenly Shaul was saying something in a trill and clicking language. He talked for a minute while Randedly's eyebrows rose.
As I say, no point in speaking of it. The system will prevent you from learning information before your time. Just know that it is powerful. The only individual in the history of our world who can rival it was the Spearman. That alone should give you an idea of the power it possesses.
Shaking his head, Randedly settled back to his thoughts. What he really grew to fear was the system itself. It somehow detected the content of the speech and reversed the translation function, however it worked, in real time. That made him wonder about what it meant for him refusing to get a class and the heretic distinction. Clearly, if it really wanted to prevent him from doing something, it had no qualms about doing so. Then why was he allowed to continue without a class? Or rather, it wasn't that the system wanted him to take a class. He was just walking a path that would be dangerous and with a high payoff. This certainly wasn't a normal situation. Very few individuals could rival what he was doing, simply for lack of ether. But the judgment system was in place for a reason. If they didn't expect this to happen, why would it have been created? Or rather, even exist. Randedly wasn't so sure he wanted to think about the beings capable of creating something like this system. Besides, it seemed strangely without a purpose. It had come to Earth, but Randedly still didn't know why. Suddenly, he remembered his conversation a few weeks ago in Franksburg with the professor at the university, where he flippantly responded they were giving up control. Of what? The professor asked. Now, as Randedly thought about his decisions to sacrifice the lives of others in order to find power, he could do nothing except hiss his breath out between his teeth. Surely the system wasn't here to drive individuals to moral bankruptcy. Likely that was just a side effect of another goal, the true goal. This wasn't even close to the core of the system. There were four groups of planets beyond this cohort, and perhaps it extended even further than that. Randedly asked, "Then what is the system? Why does it come to worlds? What's the point?" Shaul snorted,
"Fool. I've had a small speck of respect for you because you did not immediately ask this. That respect is now gone. The system is the system. It comes like weather. Perhaps someday it will pass. It gave us tools we didn't have before, but our goal will always be the same, perfecting the spear. Even before the system came, our world chased this ideal, seeking previous spearmen. The individual who defeated the calamity was not the first, but likely the greatest. Do not ask questions you don't have the power to understand. Focus inward, idiot disciple."
Randedly opened his mouth, then closed it. Though Shaul's response might not have been designed to answer the question, it still contained some information. From the way Shaul spoke, it seemed they didn't know. It came, and it changed their lives. Ultimately, it was secondary. Randedly wondered how long the system had been in this world, but decided against asking. It seemed Shaul was done with interacting for now. Perhaps after the shock of the switch passed, Earth would be like that too. Accepting the existence of the system, finding a new normal. It almost made Randedly sad, in a way. He supposed that even he couldn't deny the system's arrival had done much for him. It gave people a path.
Another part of him whispered that path came at the cost of millions of lives. Randidly looked down at the book. After a bit of hesitation, he opened it and began to read. Time passed quickly. Randidly used root control to burn through his mana while he studied the book. The beginning chapters laid out general theories about engraving and how it worked. What Randidly was most interested in was when it described how engraving was perhaps a simplified version of the way ether changed human bodies. However, any attempts to engrave on a living body resulted in horrible, monstrous, disastrous results. As such, the other half of the introductory chapter listed some things you shouldn't do with engraving. Aside from engraving living creatures, the rest was rather self-explanatory. It indicated the reason engraving didn't work was the issue of image. Whereas objects couldn't do anything but allow the image of the engraver to be impressed upon them, living creatures could have their own images. The text also alluded that there didn't appear to be any uniformity in what shapes and patterns created effects. What was really important was what the engraver thought it would do. This was complicated by a living recipient because the different images merged and changed, which was combined with the apparently agonizing pains of having your body engraved upon. This pain warped the image the recipient had even further, moving it far away from the original goal. Randidly found it rather interesting, though he didn't think attempting it sounded like a good idea. Better to focus on learning the background information in order to improve his regular engraving. Footsteps distracted Randidly. A bald man, who appeared to be the leader of the rust-colored bandits, was walking up to their campfire with a sinister smile.
"Welcome, companions. Are you new to the area?" the man said, extending his hand towards Randidly. "I am Dehark. We in this business must maintain relationships lest any accidents happen."
Randidly distastefully took the man's hand, and some of his distaste must have shown on his face, because Dehark's expression tightened. After glancing at Shawl, and probably realizing that even getting one of these people to acknowledge him was a feat, Dehark said,
"Well, I just came to welcome you, and to give you a bit of a gift. A caravan is coming down the road. And as the newbies, you wouldn't usually get the chance at an easy mark like this. But I like the look of you two. I think you'll go far here. Want to handle this one and stick it to those fat merchants?"
Dehark smiled manically. Randidly never turned his sight from Shawl. Yawning, Shawl straightened and held a hand up to his eyes. Then, strangely, he smiled.
"Yes. Why don't you let us handle this one? Disciple, you will go, and you only need to make sure to do one thing."
Randidly tilted his head to the side, and Shawl continued. "You simply need to kill one of them. Do what you must to do so. Hold nothing back. Once this is done, be sure I have possession of your ring, but not before you return your spear to its holding. The next part will get rather hairy." For a second, Randidly froze. After tiptoeing around the issue of killing another for so long, now he was forced to face it directly. His eyes briefly glazed over, and just as quickly as indecision gripped him, his eyes landed on a familiar figure with reddish skin and a ponytail. Immediately, Randidly's gaze cleared. Behind Dehark, within the mess of bodies around the caravan, the man Shawl wounded on their arrival to the location leered. The clear calls of that man's screams, as the red-skinned man gripped his hair, echoed in Randidly's mind, if he and Shawl hadn't happened to pass by. Randidly began to move, his eyes burning.
"Right now, I don't need to make any big changes to my life. It's enough to know this individual deserves to die."
He removed the large obsidian spear from his ring, the one Shawl offered when he went into the formation. He hefted it, testing its weight, which was greater than even the spine spear Sam forged for him, despite its smaller size. Randidly nodded once to Dehark when he passed him, who seemed to have frozen, a smile sliding off his face.
kill one of them? The man muttered to himself.
Randidly didn't know how this man became a caravan guard, when so recently in the past he had been committing crimes along the edge of the road, but he didn't care. He put one foot in front of the other, unwilling to let his mind wander beyond that. Because he must act. Because a spear that stopped advancing would be destroyed. Breathing evenly, Randidly advanced towards the caravan.
Chapter 68.
Dehark was sweating. Watching the slender man move down the hill towards the caravan, he quickly turned to the lazing man with the blue skin.
You don't really think he can kill one of them, right? They...
The man grinned up at him.
Yes. A few of the guards in the caravan are clearly soldiers of Tomcat. Attacking a caravan under their protection is akin to challenging the honor of the city. An act of defiance, the first spear of Tomcat does not take kindly to.
But,
Dehark was flabbergasted, his knees trembling.
If he were to seriously harm any of them, this whole camp
would likely be hunted down and tortured for the next 100 years, the man said, seemingly with relish. Dehark stumbled backwards. Sure, he'd spent the last several years building up power on this spot in the road, driving away most of his competition or absorbing them. But if someone seriously challenged Tomcat's soldiers, it wasn't just the perpetrators. The whole group they were near would be hunted to stomp down any spark of resistance. The strength and forces he built up thus far were not worth his life. It would be best to flee. A thought struck him. And Dehark turned back to the slender man now running toward the caravan. A few of the soldiers noticed his approach and muttered to each other. At the same time, it was also clear the young man had a specific non-soldier as a target. The target in question watched with fear in his eyes. Despite his reddish skin, he seemed intimidated by this young spear user who hadn't yet earned himself a die.
Perhaps there is nothing to worry about.
Dehark tried to reassure himself. If the man merely inflicted superficial wounds, the soldiers would not pursue the matter. After all, it was understandable for a young and foolish man to throw himself at them to test himself. A select few with talent might even impress a few of the soldiers and be invited to apply for a foot soldier position, which was the dream of many. This was originally why Dehark had maliciously encouraged them to go challenge this particular caravan. The soldiers would likely beat them into the dirt, breaking their spears and ravaging their bodies. It would be a good lesson and demonstrate why they needed someone like Dehark, who was a good leader. If it hadn't been for the confidence the blue-skinned man had spoken, and the presence that slender man exuded as he ran to meet the spear user on a horse. Dehark quickly beckoned some of his lieutenants over and made preparations to break camp immediately. Randidly narrowed his eyes. He scanned the figure at the back, his reddish-dyed skin going gray along his collarbone and arm. The wound Shaul inflicted had healed, but from the way he now produced his spear and hid the wounded arm, he still bore a scar. A grizzled man with gray hair and a brutal frown stepped from the side. As they grew closer, Randidly realized there was a very official-seeming regalia hanging off this man's chest. Not just typical merchants, then, or guards. Some of these guards belonged to a more official unit. However, Shaul seemed confident Randidly could handle it, even if he had implicitly said it would require his mana skills to do so. Either way, there was no way Randidly was going to let him down after they'd come this far. What came later would be even worse. When Randidly was only 5 meters away from the ponytail man, the grizzled veteran snorted.
We aren't coming through to play around, kid. Leave, and I will forget this foolishness, the man said, dismissing Randidly.
Randidly raised his spear, the tip pointing past the grizzled veteran. Randidly's target hissed and raised his own spear, weighing whether Randidly would actually attack. Randidly adjusted his grip, appreciating the strange warmth of the obsidian in his hands.
Just continue advancing.
Trust Shaw. Don't overthink.
The soldier cleared his throat.
If you insist.
Randedly already created spearing roots that ripped up behind the ponytail man and jabbed into his back. While the man yelped and stumbled forward, Randedly conjured a wall of roots to block the veteran from interfering. Planting his foot, Randedly accelerated forward. The soldier cursed and flipped out a spear, cutting through the barrier with a grace that worried Randedly.
I can't hold back if I want to finish this in time.
Randedly's blood pounded in his veins. The ghost hound howled. He transformed to become action incarnate. His incinerating bolt that hit the ponytail man's right hand midair and blew most of it off did a lot to alleviate these fears. The veteran cursed and unleashed some skill that blasted the remnant roots away. Unwilling to pass up the chance, Randedly pushed himself to move faster. His target's eyes widened. Shifting his grip to his left hand, the arm Shaw wounded, and raised his spear to meet Randedly's.
Sloppy, Randedly judged.
Their spears clashed twice in quick succession. There was no doubt Randedly could easily overwhelm the ponytail man, but not before the soldier caught up with him. If he wanted to actually kill, he would need to keep pushing. At this point, there was no hesitation, only resolve. He would kill. For his path that led towards strength, this man in front of him needed to die. He deserved it. Randedly channeled most of his remaining mana into Circle of Flames. The first blast caught both men by surprise, sending the target sprawling and made the soldier halt. The second charred the man's reddish skin while giving Randedly another few steps closer. He stood over the fallen target and unleashed a phantom thrust.
Fuck!
The man's eyes were white with panic, barely managing to slap aside Randedly's thrust. He rolled sideways, escaping with only a small gash on his arm. Despite his mental weakness and sloppy execution, his stats and skills were still comparable to Randedly. Twisting his lips, Randedly summoned another wall of thorns behind him and pursued. As he moved, he waved his hand and summoned pestilence, the air filling with the buzzing of hungry insects.
If you touch even a hair on his head,
the soldier bellowed. Around the small battle, the rest of the caravan was beginning to stir. Randedly had no doubt other soldiers were gathering. He needed to finish this quickly. The man regained his stance just in time to get hit in the face with 100 chittering bugs, which dug into his nose, mouth, and eyes, biting into his flesh. The man roared and dropped his spear as he stumbled backward.
Chance.
Randedly leveled his spear and prepared to strike. He wasn't willing to leave this to chance. The last of his mana left his body, leaving him hollow and aching. The man screamed again as spearing roots stabbed upward into his legs. Behind Randedly, the soldier sheared through the wall of thorns. The hairs on the back of his neck rose in response to the powerful battle intent this soldier manifested. Of course, it was too late.
The inevitable phantom arrives,
Randedly whispered, his smile a coy one. The air around them darkened. Clocks ticked incessantly. The spear grew larger and larger, and behind it was the ghastly phantasm of a woman, Randedly's mother, her smile pitiable and final. Before that smile, before that spear, all one could feel was helplessness. In a battle composed only of spears, a one-second wind-up for a strike is almost impossible to manage. Luckily, Randedly had many tricks up his sleeves to give him the time he needed. The soldier was too far away, and the ponytail man was pinned to the spot by the roots. The man didn't have time to block. The spear crashed into the man's chest, ripping open his flesh and destroying the bones and surrounding organs. The man's body spasmed and leaned forward, but then it froze, and the man slowly looked up, his chest cavity a mass of gore, somehow still alive.
You!
The man started to howl. Randedly stabbed with his spear again and again, using root control to grab the man's body, tearing away strips of flesh he cut free, slowly ripping him to pieces. Randedly even used Phantom Onslaught, gouging into the man's body. Finally, he slumped. Even then, Randedly cut off the head and sent a few dozen insects eating down through the neck before he was satisfied. Behind him, the soldier paused, perhaps intimidated by the display of brutality. At the same time, more and more soldiers came, surrounding Randedly. His chest rose and fell rapidly as he straightened above the corpse. All at once, everything he had done hit him. The stench of the man's blood on his clothes permeated the air, and the weight of his head in Randedly's hand grew. As quickly as possible, as instructed by Shaul, he stored his spear into his ring and used root control to throw the ring back toward Shaul. After he completed the motion, Randedly's world became a wave of battle intent sweeping towards him from a stormy countenanced man amongst the soldiers. And then he was unconscious. When Randedly awoke, he was in chains, and his head still pounded from getting hit with the battle intent earlier. Surrounding him were several other unconscious prisoners, lying in a wooden cart. He instinctively checked for his ring, panicked when it wasn't there, then remembered he'd given it to Shaul.
"Ah, good, disciple, you wake. We must speak quickly."
Randedly looked to the side, where Shaul was also bound in the gloom. Shaul continued.
"There is good news and bad news. The good news is we are in. The bad news is I was recognized. I will be bound in a place that even for me will be difficult. In addition, I will not be able to teach you while I remain there. We must change our plan. From my investigations, you will be given the choice to either be tortured by battle intent for 20 years or head out to the Badlands, but without me being there. Choose the torture. Once there, you will need to discover your own means to assist me in escaping from where I am held. Only then can the training begin. After you have reached suitable levels, or if you have taken so long there is no other choice, we will break out. It is that simple. A few pieces of advice. You will soon learn the trick of the battle intent torture. It will not work against you, and I recommend you bide your time. Second, when you make it to the Badlands, avoid others as much as you can. They may kill you to alleviate boredom. Here, take your ring back. Keep it in your mouth until we are inside."
A ring rolled across the wooden floor to him, and Randedly leaned forward and picked it up with his mouth. Then a thought struck him, and he froze.
"Should we have really discussed this with all these people here?" Randedly whispered, glancing around.
Shaul nodded.
"Ah, good, you are learning. Obviously not. It is why I killed them before you awoke."
Looking with a far more intent gaze, those around him were perhaps too still. There was no movement, not even the rise and fall of chests. The dim lighting hid it before, but dark stains surrounded the spots where these men lay. In a way, it was chilling, but in another, it was eye-opening. Randedly stared at one of the still bodies, pondering. "Is this really the only path to strength?" Randedly stayed silent, brooding over the dead shadows. Even if it wasn't, this was his path, and he refused to believe it wouldn't lead to strength if he followed it until the end.
"This is the sort of person Shaul is."
Randedly pressed his eyes closed.
"If I follow him, will I eventually become the same?"
Chapter 69. They arrived, and cloth bags were put over their heads. Their hands were bound with a strange metal that felt extremely cold to the touch and resisted even Randedly's extreme strength. They were hurried off on what Randedly could tell were cobblestone streets, and arrived at a place where their bags were removed. It was a courtroom. They were tried as bandits who assaulted the soldiers of Tomcat and were found summarily guilty. They didn't ask for a defense, but did ask whether Randedly, as the perpetrator, would claim any style as his own. Randedly was standing up front, as the one who committed the crime, so he could not see Shaul's reaction. He considered his answer for several seconds. This was a world where you bore your strength and pride everywhere you went. This was the land of the tassel. Against his instincts, Randedly lifted his head and said,
"I am the youngest generation of the Spear Phantom style."
There were some mutterings amongst the guards, and the group was again bagged and whisked off. In his brief time with Vision, Randley was delighted to see that it seemed none of the women from the Willow Tree Spear style had been captured, or the other big bandit group that belonged to Dehark. It was only the loners and the weak that had been swept up. Shaw theorized soldiers were happy to use this chance to kill any who appeared close to becoming forsaken, so they wouldn't be a problem down the line. Although he felt a small amount of pity in his heart for these people, Randley didn't have much emotional space around his own guilt. He was just glad he hadn't brought doom to the Willow Tree Spear style immediately after they had given him a gift. They were brought to another room, or at least Randley was, and he was roughly searched. They appeared to be looking for an interspatial storage device, and although they were extremely rough, they were not thorough. Tucking the ring under his tongue worked, which honestly made him wonder about how this prison continued to be effective. The bag was once more placed over his head, and he was pushed on. He felt it when they passed into the area where time was altered. It was like stepping outside on a humid day. Even if the heat hadn't started to get to you, the very air clung to you. Farther and farther he was dragged, until he was thrown roughly into a room. The door closed, and there was silence. Randley lay there, uncomfortable with his hands bound behind him, but waited a bit longer to move. After a while, realizing he was done being moved, Randley stretched his arms and brought his legs to his chest, getting his hands around his feet, so he was now bound by the metal handcuffs in front, not in back. He removed the cloth bag from his head. The room was dark. So dark that even with his improved eyes and eyes of the spear phantom, it was hard to see. He could faintly make out complicated lines drawn on the floor in a strange formation. It seemed oddly familiar, but Randley couldn't place it. Instead, he straightened and began to meditate. That first night passed slow, as Randley, almost curiously, experienced his first night in prison. He focused on meditating and mana strengthening, straining against the handcuffs. They were truly made of a very powerful material. It was far beyond his ability to break at present. The only activity of note was that at one point footsteps began to draw closer. Randley instinctively tensed, waiting for this battle-intent torture to begin. The footsteps came to his door, and there was a soft click. Then the footsteps went away. Randley blinked, confused, until the floor began to glow. The formation had been activated. Increasingly nervous, Randley settled down to wait. After 12 hours of waiting, he had at least one answer. He knew why he recognized the formation somewhat. It was a variant of the one Shawl had. It isolated ether in the air, allowing none into the small chamber. At this point, Randley felt slightly dizzy, and the ether inside of him began to stir. Carefully, extremely carefully, Randley reached for it, removing only a thread, and drew it into his body. More began to rise, countless threads reaching to bore into his being. Randley concentrated and pushed them back. Some of what Shaw said made sense on why their torture wouldn't work on him. This was likely an ether starvation type torture, coupled with the coming battle intense. He would be weakened and then assaulted. After all, despite the physical toughness of most warriors in this world being high, endurance couldn't completely block damage done with battle intent. That had been impressed upon Randley by how he'd been knocked unconscious by that furious wave immediately after he killed that soldier. Still, after repeated exposure to battle intent, wouldn't... Randley froze, finally seeing the cruelty of this type of torture. Being exposed to this would fuel rapid growth, especially because it would involve pain and a powerful desire to escape that pain with strength. In order to fuel that growth, the body needed ether. Randley wasn't sure what would happen when a body wanted to grow without ether to fuel it. He suspected it would be similar to what would happen to a starving man if he tried to perform a high-intensity cardio workout. The body would be driven into the ground. Equally chilling was the mental effect. When you realized it was your desire that caused you this grief, it would likely begin to chip away at your will, as you flinched away from the pain. This was why he needed strength, because people like this existed, because methods like this existed to hurt people. Then again, he murdered someone to get here, so it wasn't like this was being used on innocent people. Randidly smiled sardonically. Sometimes being too self-aware hurt him. It hindered his ability to dedicate himself righteously to a thought process like this, making him realize there weren't any true evils in the world. Everyone struggled under the same yoke, although they went about it in different ways. Randidly sat still, not conserving his ether per se, but attempting to keep his ether from exploding upward in force, filling him and igniting his growth like it had done previously. True, he wanted to train while he was here, but he could afford to take it slow. He could gain an understanding of how much ether he needed, and only allow that much to flow into him. It would just take time and experience to narrow it down. Morning came, and with it, his torturer. Randidly was surprised to find it was a youthful-looking man who seemed rather bored with the procedure. The man would open the door to Randidly's cell while the formation remained active, jingle the keys to his handcuffs, and throw attacks at him. There was a physical component, which was painful but possible to withstand. There was also the much more dangerous battle intent component, which battered Randidly's very perception. Even though he'd known what was coming, the strength and maliciousness of the strikes caught him by surprise. It was designed to slowly maim and bleed a person's psyche, driving them to madness and hopelessness. Randidly had a lot of respect for the torturer, too. Battle intent relied very heavily on image, and the images that ravaged Randidly's consciousness were of decay and death. Bodies decomposed, flesh dissolved, and bones grinded to dust, all returning to the still and cold earth. In a way, it was extremely painful. Even though it was purely cerebral, Randidly's body experienced each of those physical sensations. Within his chest, Randidly's own vastly weaker battle intent continuously marshaled itself, only to be wiped out before it could even draw a breath. And every time the powerful intent of death shredded it, his intent would reform more condensed, stronger, and fuller. Still, that strength was far behind the torturer's. After several hours, the torture stopped, the man growing bored, and he left. Randidly collapsed, breathing heavily. Even though he knew, even though he prepared for a dangerous way to gain strength, never had he imagined it would be found through being tortured. His lips curled upward. He supposed that all life was torture. Why should this be any different? At least this was honest. He was slightly concerned with how morbid his humor was turning, but it was hard to be concerned about it when he was struggling to control the ether within his chest. He let several threads rush up and merge into his body, relishing the strength flowing along his limbs. His mind settled into a more formidable structure, and the energy of his battle intent purified itself and grew more robust. Randidly continued to meditate, channeling energy through his body. The day passed much the same as the previous, with Randidly using meditation and mana strengthening to struggle with the bonds on his hands. At the same time as the previous day, during the following morning, the young man arrived and once more struck Randidly with his battle intent. This time, Randidly's own battle intent was able to defend his inner core from any damage, preventing too much dizziness and nausea. Even with that defense, his abilities were being slowly ground away, until after an hour his intent was depleted. Time stretched onward, leading on to the future. He survived one moment and moved to the next, stronger than ever. Randidly continued through this cycle, memorizing the timing and schedule of the guards, using the free time to practice other skills and moves. His mana-based skills were absorbed by the formation, creating a more powerful isolating effect from ether in the air. This was perfect for Randidly's purposes, because he was rapidly gaining experience in controlling the ether in his chest, preventing enough from leaking upwards for the torturer to notice. Aside from the torturer, Randidly only saw a small slave boy who brought food around every week. This food Randidly ignored, because it was just slop and stray traces of vegetables. His vitality was nearing 100, and it was more than enough to allow him to continue without sleep or nourishment. He did find himself fantasizing in his spare moments about his favorite dishes from before the change came to Earth. He was a little too hesitant to produce a spear from his ring, which he still kept under his tongue. Though Randidly did reach a point where he grew tired of just using spells and began to bring out bracers and engrave them. Weeks passed, and as his battle intent was continually brutalized, he finally got both the bear and fish engraving over 60%. He even began practicing the new sigils he learned from the willow tree spear style. The animal versions he now had just over 40%. Meanwhile, he made a few attempts at the shadow rune, but its complexities continued to elude him. And even after these weeks of grinding, his meditation wasn't enough to give him the requisite amount of mana to accomplish the full engraving in one sitting. Tortured mentally, plagued by the vicious battle intent powerfully associated with death, Randidly continued to grow. After about a month, he repressed his own intent, keeping it from struggling against the invading intent, because it was nearing the level of strength it needed to fight back. He resisted, struggling against his mind's natural instincts to defend itself. He needed more strength before he broke out. He needed to grow here. Randidly meditated, engraved, and his battle intent grew increasingly dense and viscous. All the while, time crawled. Chapter 70. After almost 2 months, when Randidly felt rather confident his own battle intent had grown to the point he needed it to, he made his attempt to escape. To his surprise, it went well. The ease was honestly staggering. When he lashed out with his battle intent, smashing aside the mental attacks from the young man, rather than panic, the young man just smiled and walked away, leaving the keys to Randidly's manacles. Nonplussed, Randidly walked out of his jail cell and into the hallway. There was even a very convenient path leading into the outer world, which Randidly took. The jail in this strange space was on a high mountain, and Randidly was forced to slide down the outside of the mountain to escape. There he reached the Badlands, as Shaw called it, and encountered new struggles. After all, the castle torture was meant to be possible to escape, and below were the powerful spear users who could manage it. The hot and dry scrublands with low plants was lousy with spear users, constantly fighting against each other and against Randidly if they noticed him. His first fight went probably exactly how it should have gone. He was ripped to pieces and left moaning on the ground. Afterwards, the rather humongous man who tore his spear multiple times through Randidly scratched his head in confusion.
"What are you doing over on the northern face of the mountain? You're so weak and barely qualified to be in the east. Wait, are you new?"
Nodding was a struggle, with the mangled wreckage of his body, but he managed it. The man laughed and introduced himself as Marco Polo, and offered to escort him to the correct location. Marco Polo, basically ignoring Randidly's confused protests, dragged him along on a journey to the southeastern face of the mountain, which Marco believed to be the best place for him. The strength was arranged in a circle. The strongest were in the west, and the weakest in the south, with east and then north being transition locations between them.
"Well, we have nothing else to do until our sentences run out," Marco would say. "Why not try and kill each other? It gets the blood flowing. There's no sex or wine here. What else is there to life?"
As Randidly watched Marco effortlessly crush person after person on their journey, he had to admit the man was very skilled with his spear, even if he wasn't very charming or eloquent. His huge body vibrated and jiggled with every word he spoke. It was hard to remain serious when faced with Marco's ridiculous comments, but Randidly couldn't help but admire his blunt personality.
If you make a mistake, why admit it? Better to double down, insert doubt into the enemy,
Marco would say.
That way, he might make a costly mistake later and die.
Randomly just rolled his eyes, admiring that unashamed attitude. It wasn't something he could personally manage. Ever since he was young, Randidly had been very concerned with following rules and remaining reasonable. To Marco, these actions held no value. All that mattered were results, and anything you did to achieve them was reasonable. The area around the mountain was huge. There were probably thousands of people here. What was most interesting was their strange attitudes towards each other. Initially, they were extremely violent and murderous. Rather quickly, it was easy to see which in the battle was superior. They would finish the fight and behave like old friends, swapping stories and sharing a meal. Almost wordless during their journey, Randidly settled into the role of cook. Although he wasn't practicing directly, he did learn a lot about fighting with the spear by watching all these fights. By the end of their journey, Marco encouraged Randidly to fight. And after he did so, and lost, Marco would step in, thoroughly enjoying his superiority. After all, this area was far too weak for him to be located in. It took almost 4 long days of running through the Badlands for them to arrive at a level where Randidly stood a chance. The biggest reason it took so long was because traveling too close to the prison was inadvisable. The guards sometimes patrolled the area immediately around the mountain, preparing for people who, like Randidly, planned to break back into the prison. Marco Polo seemed disappointed their journey was over, and vigorously shook Randidly, telling him to visit. Then he burst forward and back around the mountain, avoiding going through the extremely domineering western area, where Marco would be the one crushed during fights. Randidly had been taking the potions still, keeping any notifications from distracting him, so he took this opportunity to examine his current status before silencing them once more. His time in the dungeon had given him great gains in several areas, which meant a sizable amount of path points. He put this into the Path of Carnage 4, but it wasn't enough to reach the next milestone, so he settled down to continue his training. The next several months were a bloody time for Randidly. Unlike Marco Polo, he couldn't overwhelm the spear users in the area. He considered avoiding them, but it seemed like Shawl wouldn't want that. Rather, it was better to fight and train, even if it wasn't in the most efficient manner. At the very least, it would increase his killing edge, making him more decisive in fights. Most of the spear users had been here for a while and had much higher skill levels than Randidly. Still, Randidly's stats gave him enough of a fighting chance. Unlike when Marco fought, the fact Randidly had low skill levels became very apparent to his opponents, who seemed to view him with derision for it. Despite that, despite the weaknesses in the way he fought, Randidly started winning fights. He learned to see a chance and seize it. He learned to predict his opponent and to use his particularly unique blend of skills to trick and overwhelm. In his heart, he wanted those victories, and as he desired them, they began to come to him. Ether pulsed like a molten heart in his chest, catalyzing his growth. It was a very beneficial time for him. The real problem was how to accomplish his second goal, breaking back into the prison and freeing Shawl, giving him a teacher once more. These desperate fights against the wandering spear users might be useful, but it wasn't what would give him the most power. Although this confusion tortured him for a long time, Randidly stumbled across an answer, almost on accident. During some downtime, Randidly finally managed to create the Tier 5 Shadow Rune, and it referenced some very interesting text. Quality Leather Bracer Level 30. A piece of leather armor worked by a talented individual. Endurance plus 2. Health plus 25. Engraving of Shadow 5, 31%. Unique. Shadows seem to gather around the wearer of this armor, concealing him from the eyes of others. Effectiveness of surprise attacks increased. Reaction plus 1. Randidly sat back on his heels. It had been an exhausting process to create this piece of armor. The fact the percentage was already above 20 was a surprise to him, but a pleasant one.
There were more possibilities to be found here. It did not create shadows around it yet, but it might if the quality increased. And in that increased quality, there lay the possibility for secrecy, perhaps at the level that it could allow Randedly to sneak back into the prison and free Shaul. With all of his effort only resulting in this? Shaking his head, Randedly settled into the long hall. This wouldn't be as simple a process as he thought. Dart yawned, bored at his post. Although the position within the prison paid well, it was extremely boring. Tomcat's criminals, those that possessed the requisite power to not be executed, basically escaped within the first few weeks or died, and then fought each other to alleviate their boredom, rather than trying to fight through and gain their freedom back. After all, while the prisoners by and large didn't trust each other, the guards lived and trained as a unit. They were not forces that could be compared. Suddenly, Dart's eyes sharpened, and he looked very closely at the Badlands below. In the twilight, after dusk, he swore he'd seen a strange movement amongst the scrubby plants along the periphery of the grounds. He could have sworn a shadow detached itself from its position and approached the base of the prison. But as he continued to scan the ground, he could not find the culprit. Sighing, Dart just shook his head. The boredom here was getting to him, causing him to see things. He couldn't wait until it was time for him to depart and return to real time. He had a rather serious girlfriend, and had been dubious about spending these 6 months away from her. Although it was 6 months from his perspective, he would seem to be taking a one-week vacation to her. Dart's face turned ugly, which would be fine if it wasn't for Colin. Colin was a childhood friend of hers that always hung on her arm and pointed out Dart's weak points and flaws. Not a talented spear user himself, Colin worked in the administration of Tomcat, in an important, if without honor, position. In fact, it was only due to Colin's prodding that he came here for the stint. Now that he was here, Dart wondered if that wasn't exactly what Colin intended. It was just a week, but... Feeling slightly dizzy, Dart leaned against a rock for support and took several deep breaths. It was hard, this guard duty. He found himself dwelling and brooding more and more. He couldn't escape his disgust for Colin, nor his fear over that sleazy man using this opportunity to further drive a wedge between him and his girlfriend. He must have been more upset than he realized, because Dart leaned forward and vomited. His sick spattered the ground in